All right, hot flash heat wave. Ted and Nick.
I'm actually Adam, but
who's Nick Duffy?
A little psych out.
Nick. Right. Nick is he's in therapy right now.
Okay, that's good.
But he organized everything. So.
Oh no!
The ghostly hand.
Yeah. So where are you at, Ted?
I am in sunny Fairfield, California.
Oh, where's Fairfield at?
It's like right outside the bay. It's like toward Sacramento.
Toward Sac? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then before we recorded, yeah, Nick, you're in Davis.
I'm in, right now I'm in LA.
Oh, okay.
And that's Adam.
dude. It's going awful.
Good.
We got this. We can rein
we'll
it
do
in,
it.
Dude.
We'll do it. Adam. I'm actually going to write that down now. Adam.
You can also call me Pony Boy.
Adam, a.k.a. Pony Boy, a.k.a. Leathertarian.
Yes.
A.k.a. the slick pony.
Yeah, that's like one of my favorite parts about being a band is all the a.k.a.s. Our bass player's name was Chris, but we just called him Johnny because it just felt better. Do all you guys have AKAs?
I think we do now.
Yeah, what's yours, Ted?
Teddy Mercury, aka Teddy Trax, aka the Traxmeister, aka Teddy Dongus. The list goes on.
Yeah, I love it.
Pringle.
That's for Nick. Mysterious Gem. What else is there? Businessman.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
We have this band group chat where we all like cycle avatars like bi-weekly.
I love it. Yeah, that's, I don't know, man. That's part of my favorite part about being in a band and having like versus being a solo project, which Dante LaFonte kind of is like a solo project now, but I really miss being in like, you know, the cohesive band and having the group chat. I have a group chat with like my musicians right now, but like, you know, they all have their own projects and everyone's doing their own thing. Do you guys have solo projects on the side of this or?
I mean, we do a lot of individual songwriting and then we'll bring our songs together and collaboratively finish them. So in a way, at times you get that like solo artist vibe. Like I feel like we kind of feel completed as solo artists, but it's also kind of a cooperative in that way.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, and then getting from point A to point B with songs, like, is whoever is singing the song is the one who wrote it, or have you guys written anything? You're like, actually, I think this is better for your voice, or?
Yeah, sometimes we do that. I mean, typically we'll sing the song we spearheaded, but sometimes it just sounds right to have someone else sing it. Or sometimes like I'll write or Ted will write something and then one of us will sing on top of it and it just,
cool.
That's how it has to be, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. Are you guys recording yourselves?
For the most part.
Whoa. All right, you guys, what are we using here? Let's get deep. Logic, Pro Tools, where are we?
We're
Ableton stands.
Ooh,
we never left.
Yeah.
Ableton boys.
Nah.
Yeah, we've been using it since high school, and it's just so familiar, and it's really good for composing. So it's just feels very familiar.
And that's
an array of fancy synthesizers and guitar gear and stuff too out here.
So
the studio's out here in Fairfield. It's like right there. Boop.
Oh, tight. So you guys are kind of using hardware, real keys and synths on your stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of like analog. We use a lot of like analog sounds.
Nice.
We have a bunch of like vintage synthesizers and stuff.
Oh, cool.
That we use to get the synth tones. And then pedals and shit too.
Would you mind sharing the secrets? Like, what's in there? Can we like a Juno or what are we working with?
Yeah, we just got a Juno 106.
Yes, those are great.
We got a Kawai SX240. We have a Prophet 6 and an OB 6. and we have like a DX7 SY. Oh,
yeah. SY85.
Ooh. I love that DX7, man. I love just like the preset sounds are fucking great.
Yeah. Do you know that? Man. Are you familiar with the SY85 at all?
No.
It's super similar to the DX7, like a bunch of those kind of digital 80s tones. Mm-hmm. But it just has kind of like, I would say it's like the cousin of the DX7 or something.
So. Is it, did it come out after the DX7 or what's, is it the same time, same era?
I think it was like a response to it, but I don't remember exactly. I think when I was looking it up online, it was one of those competitor synths. So it does a lot of the same things, but it has its own quirks. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I was looking at, because the DX7 we use is with my keyboardist in LA, and I was looking at the VST version. They sound pretty close. I don't know, but that's just for my own, like, you know, while I'm in Santa Barbara, you know.
I feel like with certain sounds, like those digital kind of synths, it's digital already, so a plug could get pretty close, if not almost identical.
True. Dang. Yeah. Okay. So let's just, I had a few, I didn't really have, I don't know. I'm all over the place today. Like I said, I had a crazy morning. I started off the day, with a meeting with the label. After the meeting with the label, I was like talking to them and then driving to the COVID test. So it was just like back to back. And then I got my COVID test and then I had to go to the grocery store. And then when I was at the grocery store, I was like, oh yeah, I'm doing this shit today. Okay. Fuck. And then drove straight home, man. It's been chaos this morning, but I feel good. I don't.
Yeah. We made it. It's all chill, baby.
I'm in a chaotic realm myself. I drove to LA for a tattoo appointment.
Oh no.
I thought my appointment was yesterday, but it's actually on the 24th. So now I'm like killing time until the 24th.
What? It's not till when?
It's not till the 24th.
What day is that?
Saturday?
Yeah, I think Saturday. Huh. I was calling them and they were like, your artist is out of town. It's his birthday. And I was like, what? I paid my deposit and everything. And then I looked on my phone. It's also stupid because I made a event on my phone for the tattoo, but it was on the correct day, but I just never checked my phone.
Oh, no. What are you getting?
I think I'm going to get like a cherub, maybe with some devil horns.
Cool.
Yeah, this guy does really
cool. Baby devil.
Yeah, a devilish baby.
Yeah.
So you guys are just going to stay down there?
Yeah. I can't drive back and forth like more time.
That's hilarious. You roped Nick in.
Yeah.
Nick went down thinking it was a day trip.
Oh, no.
I felt so bad. I was like, dude, I am so sorry. I even offered. I was like, I could drive you back to Davis if you want. But... I think that sounded kind of shitty too.
Yeah. So. Oh man. So a day trip that turned into like a week trip almost. Oh
yeah.
Now I kind of have FOMO. How's it gonna go?
Don't worry. I'll be sleeping on the streets. So.
Sounds glamorous.
Well, my own brand of chaos is that I heated up this BLT, and now I don't want to eat it on camera for the interview. So.
Dude, it turns into like a mukbang at that point.
Yeah.
And that's content in itself, baby. Film yourself eating lunch.
So you're telling me I should eat this.
Hell yeah.
I have permission.
Yeah, you have permission to eat it because then the visual turns into a mukbang and then the audio turns into ASMR.
All right.
That's
I
content.
I warned you, audience. If you don't want to see me eating this BLT, this is your last chance to pop off.
do you guys watch any of those things, mukbangs or ASMR videos?
I've seen a couple of ASMRs, like the Frozen, the girl eating all the Frozen.
Oh yeah,
pretty nice. I don't know what a mukbang is though.
It's just for people eat on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go. That's a good crunch.
That was really good.
Yeah,
ASMR.
Yeah, I saw the other day Phoebe Bridgers did an ASMR video with this like massive account, And I just thought to myself, that's fucking perfect, man, because all those videos get like 500,000 views and you don't have to do anything. You just sit there and make soft noise. I was like, that's like a weird like album promotion like hack.
That's genius.
Yes.
Yeah, it's my ideal self-promotion, I think.
Just show up. Mm-hmm. Just show up. The YouTuber who owns that account is just talking quietly for you, and you're just sitting there, and that somehow promotes the record. I don't know. It worked for me. I was like, maybe I should listen to her album now.
I'm not that great at talking, but I'm pretty good at chewing.
Totally. I love it. Maybe we can expect a Hot Flash Heat Wave ASMR channel one of these days.
We're thinking about doing a hot sauce blog.
Yes.
We've been talking about it. It's been a scheme for a long time now.
I've been thinking about doing a clothing brand.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, not a clothing brand, a cologne. That's been my thing. Something even worse, a cologne.
What kind of scent?
I don't know. I gotta figure it out still. I haven't talked to any scentologists. I don't know what you'd call them. But I was figuring, like, bands don't have cologne, and I feel like cologne's such an old thing. Like, my dad loves cologne, you know, but I don't really wear cologne.
Yeah. So
I feel like it'd be, like, a novelty. And maybe at the show, you just have, like, the little tester and spray it on the fans.
That's how you get them hooked.
Yeah. That sounds tight.
And then my merch booth just smells like an Abercrombie and Fitch when you walk by. That's ultimately the goal.
That could be cool.
But I don't know, man. I think innovative merch. What's on your guys' merch booth now? What do you guys have? Just like, you know, anything crazy?
We got some schemes.
Yeah?
Actually, when you were talking about the cologne, it made me think of like a scratch and sniff app.
Ooh.
Where like you have like a USB or something, like dongle thing that plugs into your phone, and we can make an app where people can smell stuff. That's our new merch idea.
Sounds cool.
You could also do that just like, you know, I don't know. I feel like that'd be like extra work. But if someone came to the show and they download the Hot Flash app, they could also win something.
Yeah, like a free sniff of like lavender.
Yeah. And so people are checking. Well, I guess people would be checking their phones during the set. But like, I don't know. If you could avoid that part, then it sounds like a good idea.
We got some stuff in the pipeline. It's very secret. Cool, very secret stuff.
Nice. Yeah, so this cool. is I feel like this is this whole quarantine's been a good time to like reassess like maybe your merch store and maybe building an online store. Like if we're not playing shows and I don't know, are you guys releasing any music anytime soon? Like I saw you guys did like a live performance online, but
well, we actually just dropped a single.
Oh!
It's called when? Grudge.
Okay, Grudge.
It's called Grudge. It came out September 16th. It's a fresh new baby. And then we got more where that came from.
Is there a whole album or just a few more singles coming?
We got an album in the works.
Yeah.
And we've been working with this company called Fisk out of Portland. They actually just redid our website. So it's funny you mentioned that.
Cool.
It's like, we got a whole overhaul, baby. It's all brand new.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we also
the
have
website a looks video sick.
Coming out when? Next, on the 30th.
Okay.
Yeah. Coming out we're dropping the video for Grudge.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
All right, music video. Can you give us an insight into what the concept is, or is that top secret?
Yeah, it's kind of like based off The Sims or one of those like other life games. And we're going to be in the computer.
Oh, cool.
We hacked into the mainframe.
Was it all animated?
It's all on film. It's all just real.
It's in camera effect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. So
it's kind of like set in like Y2K era.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Brings back a lot of memories, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would live in that video. It feels like a very safe place to be right now.
Those are always the best videos where you just want to live there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, I just did a video last weekend, and it was like it's weird, man, being around people and I haven't been around that many people, and these are all new people. Like, I haven't, like, seen, like, in my bubble yet. So it was like, how was that feeling for you guys being around another director, maybe some new people that, you know, you're not quarantining with?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was a crazy experience because we'd planned this whole venture up to Portland to film it. And it just happened to be right when all the fires in Oregon were happening.
Oh, so yeah.
It was the worst air quality in the world, and it broke. I think it broke a record, and it broke the API scale while we were there for that weekend. So not only were we like in this studio with a bunch of people, although they were all very professional, so it made us feel pretty safe.
That's good.
Everyone was wearing masks and like distance and stuff. So I feel like it was taken care of really professionally, but it was like crazy to be there at that time. It was like 100-foot visibility outside the whole time.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like shooting video while the world's ending.
Yeah, was the when it gets to that point too, like the sky like turns colors. It's like
orange. It looked like a bloody sky. Some 28 days later.
Oh, yeah, it was
like a heavy Silent Hill fog with a more orange tint.
Totally. Yeah. We've had that a lot in you know, Santa Barbara. We've had a lot of those. Were you shooting outside or were you shooting in a soundstage or?
It was all in a studio, so that was
okay.
Nice.
That's good. Yeah.
It was planned out to be quarantine friendly, so we were only like in this box in the video.
Yeah. Okay. So you're in the box, and then they'll build the world around you through in the computer.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Basically.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's changed the way we have to, this whole thing has changed the way we have to like think and move. Like
music. Yeah, kind of a lot of remote collaboration.
Totally. Is that what you guys are doing too, is for songwriting, just like sending each other stems and going back and forth, or do you guys find time to meet up?
We've been in the pod together.
Cool.
But yeah, apart from that, we've been staying pretty isolated.
Do you think that's led to like writing more songs, or do you feel like because I've talked to a lot of people and everyone feels like so not motivated to create anything just because the world's so hectic right now, but like being together in your pod, like do you feel like that's helped versus like being alone?
I think it's a bit of both. Like sometimes it's seems kind of pointless or something with everything going on in the world, you know, to like hunker down and record, but sometimes I feel like it's the only thing I can do, you know?
Yeah.
And it's definitely nice when we can get together and just get into a flow and forget about everything that's going on, you know?
True.
But it is bizarre.
It's a weird time. It's a crazy time. The craziest time. Yeah, unprecedented times. Yeah. I love Portland. What's your guys' relationship with Portland?
I like Portland. It's a place to go eat fancy food and get shacked up.
Yeah.
All my friends in Portland are married now and like settled down.
Oh, no. It happens, man. As we get older, it's just happening.
Yeah. Just too much good food and booze around.
Man.
And what's like your cheap housing.
Yeah. 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 I remember the first time I went to Portland was on tour in like 2011. And like, you know, you go, you only see places like for like a day or so, but each year I just saw it change each year. And, it's still a beautiful place. But like my feeling of like, oh, I want to move there has like kind of gone away. I'm like, it kind of looks like Seattle now, and not that Seattle's bad, but like, yeah, I don't know. It's just not the Portlandia. Like it doesn't look like the show anymore, I think.
Yeah. I mean, some of the weirdos are leaving, you think?
That's what I feel like, too. Yeah, I feel like the real artists are dipping because it's getting pricey. But everywhere's getting
pricey. Where are they
going? I don't know. Boise, Idaho?
Where are these artists at?
I'm not supposed to talk about Boise, Idaho, but I always talk about Boise, Idaho. I know the locals don't like it when Californians move to Boise, Idaho, but it's fucking awesome there. Have you guys been?
I think one of my childhood friends lives there now.
It's very cool. I love it.
Family friend.
Yeah, we played that Tree Fort Festival.
Oh, damn. That always looks like a good time.
Yeah, really crazy. It's like what South By, I think, used to be.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, damn. Like, you know, very artist-friendly. Like, everyone's just walking around and, you know, the green room's awesome and there's always, like, free food coming and it's fucking rad. Such a hang. But, I did that and South By the same year, so I was just like, oh, this is what I thought it was going to be like. I did not have a good time at South By. I, like, really did not enjoy it. But I would go again, maybe. I don't know.
South By is kind of a shit show.
Yeah.
It's, like, more like hanging with your friends than playing a festival.
Yeah. We're so-and-so playing, and then we just head over to their show instead of, like, you know. We did an official show, and that was somehow worse.
Our official showcase, I mean, it's really hit or miss just depending who's presenting it, but there's been times when our official showcase is at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, in this weird little amphitheater. Mm-hmm. And we've already played like 3 shows that day.
Yeah.
And we're just like, why are we doing this?
Totally. What's some of your favorite cities from traveling around the United States or in Europe too? But I haven't really gone to Europe, but you can, if you have a place in Europe you like.
I mean, US, I mean, I really have loved Austin every time. New York, Chicago is really fun.
Chicago's awesome.
But we really got into.
Yeah. Texas and Florida are always fun to play. And also, Southern California is always fun too.
Where in Florida have you guys played?
We played Orlando and Tampa a couple of times.
Oh yeah.
And we went to like Margate once, but that was like a smaller one.
I'm still trying to find someone.
Honey.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, I love Honey.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, they're great.
Shouts out.
Yeah, shouts to Honey. I'm still trying to find someone who's been to Miami. Like what band has finally made that whole drive down there?
Yeah, the deep dive.
It was like kind of like intense just to get to Orlando.
Oh, it's such a drive. It's like 10 hours if you're going to play Florida at all.
Yeah.
Our Florida fans are like screaming at us to come back.
I get it. And I completely get it. If I lived in Florida and just like bands just never coming, like that would fucking suck. But they have to know that it's kind of hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is an extra little bit. You guys better be grateful.
and it's hot, man. We spent the night sleeping in a Waffle House because we were just hauling ass from Atlanta to Orlando, and it just took a long time. And we're like, let's just kill it all night, and then we couldn't drive anymore, so we slept at a Waffle House.
That's a staple out there.
Yeah,
so cheap. Yeah. Pretty good.
And open all night.
In like a bed of sausages.
Yes. Yeah.
They're all also nice, you know, all the employees.
Yeah, that's why we asked the employee, we're like, hey, is it cool to sleep in the parking lot? We're just traveling through. She's like, oh yeah, I do it all the time. I'm like, oh, okay.
I do it all the time.
I'm like, all right, sounds good then. She's like, yeah, it'll be fine. Just, you know.
I'm actually living in back.
Yeah, that's the vibe it was. I was like, all right. And then it was just like, we had a bed in our last van, like in the very back. And for some reason, I slept on the bed that night, and I was just so claustrophobic, and I was like, this fucking sucks.
Oh, man.
I know.
That's a tour tale for you.
That's a real tour tale. Do you guys have any crazy stories? A tour tale that you'd be willing to share?
Yeah, sure. We've driven through some horrible weather.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like, so the last trip was going to Portland during the fires, the West Coast burning. That was like emblematic of like every trip for us. I feel like the world is always like caving in around us.
Oh, no.
So before that, yeah, like for quarantine, they almost got stranded in London. So like our return flight was the 16th of March. And the travel ban, when it was going into effect, he announced that it was going to go into effect the next day. But it was like, we were like, the last couple dates of our tour got canceled. And then like, we weren't sure if he hadn't announced when the ban was going into effect. So we weren't sure if we were going to be able to get back.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Ted's parents were like offering to buy us flights home early, and they're just like, "No, nah, let's see what happens. You know, we might become British citizens at this point."
Yeah, we couldn't really afford to change them ourselves, so we were just like waited it out.
Yeah. So then, how did that end? Obviously, you guys got back, but like
we rolled the dice and then flew back without any hitches.
Oh,
but it was a nerve-wracking couple days.
Ted almost convinced himself he had COVID on the flight back.
Oh yeah.
I was fully convinced. I was wearing like all these extra clothes because I did a lot of shopping on our European tour.
Yeah.
Some great clothes to buy in London.
Yeah, I bet.
Probably would have had a whole new wardrobe if we were got stranded out there. But anyway, I was wearing this like skiing like onesie thing and like this a leather jacket, and I was really hot and I was thinking I had a fever, and so I convinced and then I was just having like panic level anxiety on the 12-hour flight.
Oh, like, no.
I definitely have COVID, like they're gonna like quarantine me off the tarmac.
Oh no.
But yeah, we landed and they gave us like pamphlets and took our temperature, and then we were like home free. It was like, no, it was so disorganized. It was crazy.
Oh my god. Yeah, I think I've given myself imaginary COVID like, I don't know, every other day.
Yeah,
every other day I have it. I don't know.
Yeah, every time there's like a sore throat.
Maybe, yeah, like, I sleep with the window open, I wake up a little stuffy, I'm like, oh, this is it.
Yeah,
this is it. And then
especially
it's not.
With all the smoke in the air.
Yeah.
And
it's all you pot smokers out there, got your stoners cough.
Yeah, that actually was happening in Portland when we were at a food truck. We were getting some food, and this one girl kept coughing, like heaving violently. And I just like, didn't want to look, but she just kept coughing. And I looked, and she was just smoking a vape pen, though.
What
so I was
fuck?
Like, oh, chill.
She's fine, yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, no.
I was like, you hadn't. Triggering me right now.
Yeah, man. That
not
vape...
a good year for coughing.
No, yeah. It's an awful year for coughing. Anytime I sneeze, yeah. I'm like, oh no. Like, I hold in every sneeze in public now.
Oh, I did that. I was in the airport with my brother helping him move from New York City. But when we were in the airport, I just kind of had a moment where I wasn't thinking at all. And I just sneezed super loud, and it's a dead silent airport because it's like 6 a.m. and it just echoes through the whole place. And I was so embarrassed just because, I don't know, everyone's wearing their mask and shit, and I'm just let out this explosive sneeze. I just hid my face.
Oh no. Did people look at you? Do you know if people looked at you?
I honestly was too embarrassed. I just like was like, oh fuck, because I took my mask off because I was eating a little bit and then just sneezed super loud, so I just shrunk into I went into the fetal position.
Classic, very classic. Yeah, no, it's a scary time. I don't know what to do. Like I told you, I had like a job interview this last week, and because I'm just like, what's, I don't know when I'm going to tour again. Like, I don't know when I'm going to do anything again. So maybe I should get a job. Like, I'm on unemployment right now, but like, it's not enough. So I don't know. But then I feel like I'm going to get a job and then everything's going to open up again and I'm going to have to like quit.
Yeah.
And that's always what it's been. It's always me.
That.
It's always me just getting shitty job after shitty job because I know I can just be like, all right, I'm out. Buy coffee place, buy sandwich shop, like you'll be fine, like if you don't have me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is very, very real. But I'm enjoying my time home. Doing these podcasts have been great, and yeah, I don't know.
Where are you living? Did you move back in with folks or something?
Yeah, I'm at my dad's house in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, that's what we all did too. Yeah. One way of
dude, it's what everyone did.
Yeah,
in the world.
Every artist in the world is now living with mom.
Dude, everyone I talk to on this podcast, like, yeah, I moved back in with my parents. I'm like, oh, okay, good. I don't feel shitty. Like, I feel fine. We're all doing it then.
Yeah, it's like normal now. I used to feel weird being like, yeah, I live in my mom's house, and then it's like, oh, me too. You know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know.
It's weird if you don't live at your mom's house at this point.
If you don't live with your parents, I'm impressed. One, very impressed.
I'm impressed and I'm disappointed.
The immediate, like, what went wrong in my life? But it's okay. I'm enjoying it. My dad and I, we watch football every Sunday. It's fun.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and we like 90 Day Fiancé. Have you guys seen that show?
Oh, wait. It's like...
I've heard about it.
Ooh.
I'm more of a Bachelor.
My friend from...
A Bachelor, okay. Bachelorette fan.
Ooh, yeah. The Bachelor this year is supposed to be kind of awkward, isn't it?
It's kind of bizarre. I guess, like, I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but everyone says the girl falls in love hella fast, so should they just end the season or they replace her?
What?
But yeah, I don't know.
Wow. We're going to find out.
We watched the first episode and it was like she met this one famous dude who came on the show and he was like, "I saw you on TV." Like, and she was like, "I think I just met my husband."
Oh shit.
I'm shaking.
And then the producers
whole,
are like
drama,
you know,
reel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The host walks out, he's like, "Tell me what you're feeling right now." And she's like, "I'm shaking. I think I'm in love." You know.
He's like, "Well, we need 20 episodes, so stretch it out." Like,
yeah. He's like, "Really explore this."
Really talk to every guy before you make a decision. Yeah. Oh man,
I think it is it's setting an unrealistic standard for loving relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an unhealthy foundation for any relationship.
Oh yeah.
Don't jump into it.
Yeah, you're completely jumping into it, like just looking at someone and being like, "That's him, that's the one." It's like, yeah, it's easy when they pick out these beautiful men in front of you, but like you don't know who they are, their interests, or anything about them, other than that they're good looking, and that's why they're there, you know, because they're good looking.
Yeah. Although I will say, most of the men's introductions, they beefed it.
Ooh,
some crazy shit they were pulling.
What do you remember? What they said? What did they say?
One guy, like, there were a lot of props involved. One guy like burst through like a paper thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, "I am your husband."
There was like a dude came in a like a bubble, like a huge bubble, and rolls in. He's like, "This is a socially distant meeting." But then he like comes out this little hole. He's like, "I'm gonna date you."
Oh no.
It's shameful, but I love it for some reasons. Like,
Is everyone
hard
in the
to
band?
Say if they did it for TV or for the lady, for the Bachelorette.
Is everyone in the band single? Are you guys in relationships? What's your deal?
I am dating myself for about 1 year now.
That's good.
Yeah, we're pretty much married to the music right now.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to like tour and leave someone at home, and you know, you start missing them, they start missing you, and
yeah, dating sucks.
Yeah. It's awful right now in the quarantine too. Like, everyone I know who's single is like really struggling to like meet someone off Tinder or something like that. And
yeah, I don't even fuck with the dating apps. Or anything. Yeah. I've just been like, all right, 2020 is my year of celibacy.
Well, No Nut November is right around the corner, so
oh yeah,
we all have to stand in solidarity together.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. Dating is wild.
No pap. No nut. You hear me, guys?
That's the call, it's man. We only have a few more days. What? It's the 22nd today, so by the time you're probably watching this, it is No Nut November.
I think we're going to do a sober November, too.
Oh, yeah?
I was sober, and I was loving it, and then I fell off the wagon, and now I'm miserable again, so I'm going to go back to being sober.
You know... Yeah, I find just like taking a break off alcohol really improves my mental health. Well, I know this is like crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe it is a downer. Maybe it's true what they say. It's a downer.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have friends who like really like drinking, and
yeah,
it can be like something to abide this time while we're all like separated and stuff. But yeah, for me, it's something that I've kind of realized doesn't serve me that well.
True. I agree.
It's hard being a musician. It's like everywhere you go on tour is like alcohol like shoved in your face. So
yeah,
for me it was like forcing me to become an alcoholic.
It can happen, man. Like I don't know. There's just a lot of situations where musicians become maybe more addicted on tour, and it's just, yeah, of course the green room is just full. Like we played New Year's Eve, that was our last show, and when we got the show sold out beforehand, and we were just like, sweet, this is awesome. Never had a show sell out before doors, this is awesome. And then we go to the back, and then the venue was so excited, there's just bottles and bottles, and we're like, oh fuck, like, who's gonna drink all that? Like, and I didn't, but everyone else got trashed. Uh-huh. Openers trashed. Openers girlfriends trashed. I was like, this is insane. It was New Year's Eve, so I get it, but like they can't just hand bottles to the back. Take these bottles and take these beers.
Each person gets their own bottle. That was like played Outside Lands. Ooh. We had like a bottle of vodka on stage, like a handle or something.
Oh, man.
But it was,
they gave us a handle of vodka, and then like around 4 p.m. after our set, we like got into this massive argument, all like drunk off our asses.
Of course, of course. Wait, I love Outside Lands, man. How was that? I love that festival.
Oh, it was crazy. It was so fun. And then like that was definitely the biggest show we'd ever played up to that point. And yeah, it was an amazing experience. It was super overwhelming. Like I was walking around the festival afterward and just like
massive festival
freaked out.
Yeah.
It was also hilarious because we pull up to Outside Lands and then park our car while we're figuring out, you know, where to unload. And they're like, oh, you have to drive like over here and do it this, you know, official way. We realize our car is fully out of gas, so we're stuck there.
Oh no.
So it's like this debacle. We're trying to like get someone to drive a gas can out, and then we also realize our car has this like theft protection, so you need like an extra long nozzle.
Oh. So
it took them like hours to put gas in our car.
Oh no.
It was just like, that's how we started our Outside Lands experience.
That's,
but luckily,
brutal.
We did run out of gas like right behind the stage we were going to perform at, so
that's good.
It was
so burnt. Literally, we like pulled up to the wrong place, but it was like the most possible convenient spot for us.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're like, you have to move. And we're like, look at the gas tank, and it's like empty.
Yeah, that festival is so massive. It's like such a large like area. It's just I've been to it twice. I saw Radiohead in 2008.
That's cool, man.
It was right when In Rainbows came out, and I was like, oh, this is great. It was like perfect timing. I don't really listen to Radiohead anymore, but like perfect timing when I'm 18.
Yeah, that was the time to be listening. I remember those days.
Classic it's crazy to even days. Think about being around that many people. Like it was like sardines in that whole festival.
Yes. Was it one of those things where you guys got to hang backstage, or after you played you had to?
Yeah, we had our own tent. Like it was a really cool tent and ladders.
They had some backstage amenities. Yeah. I got a massage.
Whoa.
We got a cauliflower crust pizza.
Love that. Love it.
Adam missed the massage.
How the hell did that happen?
Went rolling with your boy, dude.
Yeah, man. Stand by him. Get yourself a massage. You never know.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Yeah, Outside Lands is cool. What other festivals have you guys played? I'm like, do you guys prefer the festival? I feel like it's like every time I've done something like that, I can never get the monitor right, and something always feels a little off. What are your thoughts on that?
The sound is definitely different. Like, I feel like the sound is never quite right. Mm. I haven't really figured it out yet. But I always, like, really love playing festivals.
Yeah.
Like, there's some of my favorite shows we've done. Especially like Tropicália.
Oh yeah!
Last year was so sick.
I was there.
Shows I've ever done.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, that was a great year, man.
Yeah, that lineup was insane. I went with Paul Cherry. He and I like we recorded a podcast together, and then the next day we hung out that day, and it was just like, damn, this is crazy. And he's running all over the place. I'm like taking it slow. I was like, I'll get to see everyone at some point, but like,
yeah. So many people to see, so many things to play. Even like the stages that we're spinning, you know?
Yes.
So intense. You have to set up, sound check while this other band's playing, and then immediately it starts spinning you around, and then you just start going.
I was so into that though. That's like my glam, my diva moment, like standing on the fucking spinning stage.
You know, I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I love it.
It was fucking seamless. I was like, oh, there's another band. Because usually people leave after a band ends and then they go to another stage. But this was like, hey, let's go.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah,
sometime in our distant future, we'll be like bungee corded into our live show.
Seriously.
I'll like parachute in on like a drone or something.
What was Tropicália like backstage? What was the energy like?
It was kind of crazy. I mean, there were curtained off squares. So it's just like 100 bands in this big old room.
It was like almost like hotel rooms.
Cool. Yeah. It was a little bit of a sardine vibe as well.
Did you get to talk to the bands at all? Was everyone?
Yeah. We caught up with a few bands.
Cool.
You're right next to a bunch of our friends. That one was really intense for me because I was going sober that month and we were there all day long and there was like nothing to do except drink. So I was just like shaking, just like, should I have one beer? Maybe just one, you know?
Yeah.
I'm at this music festival. There's nothing to do but drink.
Really? There's nothing to do but drink. And they're just there and they're cold and they're free. It's like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was a cool location. I thought it was just like, who were the other bands playing around your time? I can't remember now. Who was there?
I mean, I remember like The Garden.
Cool. Walla. That was a crazy set. Yeah.
Dude, yeah, The Garden was sick. Honey played really close to us.
Were they right before us?
Yeah, I know Katsuoto played maybe right before us or after.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like, it was cool because it was all these bands we're friends with. So everyone on the side stage is your homie. You're like playing, you look over, give them a little smile, maybe a little.
Yeah.
A wink.
A little wink.
A coy wink.
A nod.
A coy wink for the homies.
Man, I opened up for Honey at the Troubadour a few years ago.
Oh, cool.
That show was crazy. And it's just crazy because I remember their band before they became Honey. And my buddy who cuts my hair, he was telling me about them and he was like trying to book them a show. And it's just weird to see the. And then we played the first show with Honey. We played their first show in Ventura.
What were they called before Honey?
They were like Black something, Black Buffalo or something like that. I can't remember. But it was pretty funny. And it was
very indie adjective.
Totally. It was like that. Honey is definitely like, it pops up now. It's like, oh, Honey is a better name, but like,
it's a great name.
We played this bar.
How was it not taken?
I know. And then we played with them in Ventura at this bar called The Tavern. And then, they just blew up after that. I was like, whoa, I remember that band. They're opening and now we're opening for them. It's just like, they're so good, but they're so good. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild. I love the new album. I think they're coming out with some new stuff soon.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, this is a time, man. This is a great time to just like hit the studio, start writing. Start putting this. Next year, I'm hoping we see a lot of new stuff. Paul McCartney just released a new record, is about to release a new record that I'm personally excited for. I don't know if you guys are big Paul McCartney fans, but he's releasing McCartney 3, which is just.
He's been doing some out-of-pocket moves lately.
I know. That's why I'm excited, because this one was written and produced by him. So he's the only one involved, I think. So
it's going to be like an album of tantric sex songs or something.
Yeah, that last record was pretty... was not for me, to say the least. But I'm excited to hear just him work by himself, because he doesn't need... You can feel... I feel like for me, you could see the fingerprints of like other people touching that shit. And like fucking with his songs and like, oh, this will sound better. This will sound more modern. And like, and he was probably like, yeah, this sounds good. But for me, I was just like, that. I don't need that. I don't need that. So that's
we need
the kind
Paul
of thing.
McCartney.
Hell yeah. Just Paul by himself. But yeah, that's some of the stuff I've been looking forward to. I don't know. Is there anything you guys have been looking forward to when this all opens up again, if it ever opens up again? Like,
I mean, oh, I'd love to tour again.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dream. It's crazy because when we were touring so much, I just thought of it as work, you know, at a certain point. And it's like, damn, I was really taking that for granted, but it's so cool. So cool to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I miss it.
I definitely miss it too. Yeah. Yeah. It felt
feels like we're like not able to go home in a weird way. Cause we totally. Were like spending so much time touring, you know?
Yeah.
Home is like a Super 8. In like Arkansas.
That's Western in Montana.
Yeah. Oh, Billings, Montana.
Sponsor us.
I would love that. I would love for a hotel game to just be like, yeah, dude, Best Western, we're sponsoring a band, like, and then you just stay at their place for free. But you like gotta really have, maybe you gotta put that shit on your stage or something, like Hot Flash Heat Wave presented by Best Western. Yeah.
Whoa. I'm good at chewing, and I'm really good at sleeping on camera.
What's everyone's roles in the van? Like, who's driving? Who's just chilling in the back? Who's passenger side?
We used to switch drivers a lot. And, like, for the last couple of tours in Europe, we, like, had a tour manager who did most of the driving, which...
Yeah, because it's you need somebody, right, to drive over there?
It's a lot. Well, it's a lot safer in general for us not to be driving because we're not the best drivers. Okay. I mean, I think we made it through a number of tours.
We're amazing
behind the wheel.
You're talking about.
I'm the best driver. Everyone else sucks.
But it's definitely good because, you know, you play late, you have to designate a driver, you know, and. Mm-hmm. No, like zero drinks, you know?
Yeah.
And there's definitely been nights where you've like, we haven't communicated right. And it's like, wait, I thought you were driving. It's like, I thought you were. It's like, okay, someone needs to stop drinking right now.
Yeah, totally. Start pounding some waters. We definitely have had that too. But then who else, you know, what do you feel more comfortable? I get car sickness. I'm always passenger side.
Oh yeah.
I don't like being in the back, but I can also... I'll probably do a lot of the driving too. I also like doing the driving because I can control what I want to listen to, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think we switch it up a lot. We're very egalitarian that way.
That's good.
We listen to a lot of Tim and Eric's Office Hours.
Oh, yeah.
Or Tim's Office Hours. Eric's not involved.
Totally. The Office Hours is great. I didn't know what it was. I just thought he was going live on Facebook every day. I was like, oh, this is his podcast.
Yeah, whoa. It's so good.
He's really upped the production value recently.
It's insane. It's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
He's gotten some good guests on there too. Jack Stratton from Wolfpack. I really love that because you never hear that guy talk anywhere. Yeah. And then Thundercat too.
Oh yeah, the guess this bass line.
Yeah.
He plays like the worst bass line. Just he's like, what is that?
That was awesome. I love that. Yeah. Oh man.
It was like some cock rock tune or something.
They're all like Poison or like shitty weird bands. Like, actually, I don't know if Poison's shitty. I've never listened to them. So
Poison, is that the one with Tommy Lee?
We have beef with Poison now.
Oh no, Poison. That's the one with Bret Michaels.
Man, you got me.
Okay, I'm just trying to think. Because I used to love Rock of Love. Did you guys ever watch that show on VH1 back in the day?
What is that again? Like dating.
It's just like The Bachelorette, dude.
But with Bret Michaels.
Oh yeah, heard about it, but I never watched.
Yeah,
it.
that was a classic one. Off the heels of Flavor of Love with Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
That was. I spent a lot of time watching television.
Which one was Tila Tequila's?
Oh, she had one on MTV, I think, or I can't remember one.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called.
She lost it, man. She was like she was like diehard MySpace, and if she only would have switched off of MySpace and gone to Facebook, she could have been huge still.
Well, she's also like a flat earther and shit.
Oh yeah, she's nuts. She should not be listened to. She's crazy. But
I used to think she was so hot when I was in junior high.
on MySpace.
Yeah, check out her MySpace, her first pics.
Hell yeah. When did you guys start Hot Flashy Wave?
Nick and Adam started it.
Yeah, it was like right after high school. We were kind of toying around with all these song ideas that Nick started, and then I would just kind of make up vocals on top. And then a lot of, when we started, we would just do it mainly to play shows and stuff. It was very improvisational, vibely. Like, I would kind of just make up all the vocals, have a rough idea, and then like freestyle it on the spot. So for whatever,
it was very much like made for a garage show
thing. Yeah, it was low production value, all about the energy and the vibes.
Totally.
Well, we started being like a real band like when Nick was in Berkeley, and we got a four piece together, and that's when I joined. So that's when it became like this band it is now.
And what was the big difference? Like, when did you guys start taking it more serious? And what was that thought process? Like, oh, maybe we should start remembering the lyrics. And
yeah, right.
Was it just getting older or trying to take it more serious? Or
I think it was.
It was gradual.
Yeah,
we all lived in the same house in San Francisco, and we're recording. We ended up recording a song or two at this studio, Different Fur.
Oh yeah, I love that place.
Yeah, yeah, and then we decided to do a whole album there, and then I think that's when we started taking it seriously. You know, we're like, all right, we're recording a record. We would break off into songwriting groups, you know, and write songs, and then get together in the living room, and yeah, it was super cool and fun, and yeah, we were taking it really seriously for the first time, which felt appropriate.
Yeah, totally. San Francisco. That whole area is so different. What are the changes you guys have seen from the San Francisco scene from your time of when you started playing shows?
Definitely a lot. A lot of those like kind of DIY spaces and stuff stopped happening. And like our homies who lived in this insanely cool warehouse on right downtown on Market Street, that got like sold, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I just felt like it was like you were watching people just disappear left and right, you know, like other artists or friends or venues and stuff, which was kind of sad. It was gradual, but yeah, I'm always going to love SF, but it's totally not that same place when we went there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Some of the first places that really let us play is like Bottom of the Hill. Gave us like like, you know, they're always down to give someone a shot, and I always love that place for it.
Yeah, the place is great. I'm really wondering what's going to happen with venues, you know, if this keeps up for much longer, you know.
Yeah, we only have one venue left in Santa Barbara.
Really?
Wow. Well, we only had one, so we're holding on to
pre-COVID.
I have none.
Yeah, and then we might have none. And then, no, you can't really throw a house party in Santa Barbara, like a DIY show. Like, those get shut down really quickly.
Really?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like, there's going to be, like, all these bands, all this desire to go to shows when things open up again, and then, like, no venues.
Yeah. And who's got the capital to just open up a venue? And then it's such a hard business to get into. Like, I did social media marketing for another venue in Santa Barbara that he closed down, but he closed it down because he wanted to. And it's fucking hard, man. It's hard to like get a band that will fill up the room, and well, it's probably just hard in Santa Barbara because it's just hard to draw in Santa Barbara to fucking begin with. And I think that's why a lot of people just like skip over it. You play San Francisco and then you play LA, but you don't like play the in between. And I don't blame anyone, because it's really difficult. And I don't know. I'm worried about a lot of the venues. U Street Hall in DC just closed, and I can't think of any of the other ones right now that I know that have closed, but yeah, that's been the latest one.
A lot of
one.
Places.
It's crazy. I think it's going to be hard.
Not a good time to be a venue.
No, I think, and then, you know, looking into the future, like all the venues are going to be left are the Golden Voice and the Live Nation venues. And it's like, you got to be in with them, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to get tough. I don't know. I think about all the...
We're going to have to start throwing like rock and roll raves in the woods.
Yes. Wood shows. Yeah.
Yeah. Forest. forest rock.
These fucking bees packing my sandwich.
Yeah, can we get another bite? Have you eaten your sandwich already?
I took like two bites and I felt too weird about it. Okay. Now there's this yellow jacket who he got his legs dipped in mayonnaise.
Oh shit.
And he's crawling around my plate. Get out of here. Look at this guy.
That's hilarious. Struggle. Oh damn.
Get out of here.
Oh my god.
Wow. This is a nature show.
This is a nature podcast, man.
This guy's struggling.
Oh, now I understand why you kept thinking my name was Nick, because it says my name's Nick.
Yeah. It says right there underneath it, Nick Duffy. I was like, okay, Nick.
Really fucking you over.
No,
I don't care what you call me. I don't really care.
What the fuck, Nick?
No, I know. I wrote it down, Adam. Now I know. Adam and Ted. What do you play, Adam?
When in our live set, I play guitar and sing. I might end up playing some keyboards too.
Cool.
I don't know. Yeah, we're kind of messing around with our live performance since we have all this downtime.
Yeah,
a few things up.
I think with this new project, we're gonna kind of have a new vision for our live performance.
Cool. Adding members, scaling back, or what are we looking at?
Yeah, we're kind of feeling it out still, but
yeah.
Adding members most likely.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then switching it up a little bit, might play some guitar. On our last tour, I was playing guitar and Adam was playing bass for our new track, Grudge.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
Yeah, that's kind of the
fun
part.
Fun to switch it up.
Yeah, it's kind of the fun part about tracking something and then figuring out how we're going to do this live.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the fun about, because we did that when we did our first record with Rado, and I didn't know how we were. I was like, I have to buy pedals now. What the fuck? That was like the big one for me.
Yeah, it's kind of gotten increasingly more piecing together the puzzle to play a track live. Like, we used to just write the songs as a 4-piece band, and it was just what it was,
Yeah.
Now we're like kind of composing these tracks and stuff, and it's like, figuring out the best way to play it live is like, it's kind of like piecing together the puzzle.
Yeah. Oh man. And it's just, I don't know. It's fun. It's fun. Hey guys, music is fun. And what I keep trying to remind people, I just want to get back to having fun. I think I spent too much time stressing out last 4 years. Like, and it's just, I want to get back to just like fun. I'm doing this for fun,
Yeah,
it's like a passionate thing. I feel it's like the same thing with touring, It's like if you're not having fun, like you should reassess why you're doing this.
Yeah. Especially touring, because it's like, the weeks can feel even longer if you're not having fun.
Endless weeks, sleepless days and nights.
I know. I was shooting a music video last weekend and we were driving to Las Vegas I told the guys who were working with, I was like, yeah, this is like touring, man. We're just sitting in this car driving for like hours. They're like, really? We've always like romanticized the idea of touring in our head. I was like, oh, this is it, man. We're going to pull over at this gas station and at this Love's and we'll buy some snacks and then we're off. Like,
90% driving, maybe 5% performing. And then
oh my God. Yeah.
Shaking.
5%. 5% peeing at the come and go.
Yeah. They got showers at the Love's. Have you ever used a shower at Love's gas
station? I've never showered at the truck stop.
Have you?
No, I thought about it though.
Do you have to, sign up, right? Because they always.
Think so.
That would be hilarious, man. That's kind of tight. We should do that sometime.
And then they're like, number 10, your shower is ready. And I'm like, what the fuck? People are showering in here?
Go like sit at the trucker theater. You know how they have those little showrooms?
Yeah.
That sounds really nice.
I'm sure, and you have to have like those little like rubber shoes on, and then you're walking into the shower, dude.
You should give it a shot, Adam. Try being a trucker for a bit.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I got some lupini beans for you to cargo all the way to Florida.
That's like my only requirement for the road is that I need a shower. I like to shower every day. If I can't shower, that's when I feel off. That's what I'm like. So that's, yeah, that's like my only requirement.
Got to keep it clean.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Great when the venues have a shower, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's insane.
Green room shower, freshen up before or after the set, you know?
It's yeah. I love it.
Adam's classic move is to forget his laundry at the venue.
Really?
I don't know. I feel like you've done that, but actually it might have been someone else.
I would I'm
calling you out for no reason.
I believe myself doing that. That sounds like something I do. I feel like every time I try to do freaking laundry at a venue, I just don't because I'm too lazy or running around, you know? It's kind of stressful. Like you have to plan it out perfectly to actually accomplish a load of
you're like sound checking and then you put your laundry in and then you have to like remember to put in the dryer before you're set.
And it's all wet.
You're and then you're pretty sure you did you leave it in the space ballroom in Connecticut?
You got me there. I do remember though Nick did laundry at a venue and it wasn't dry though, so he had this trash bag of wet clothes he was bringing around for a couple days.
I do remember that. I'm inventing tour stories now.
Yeah, definitely. Free balling.
Dude, we definitely have like left shit at the venue and it's so stressful. As they're driving away, we're already leaving DC and we're like an hour out. We're like, oh, where's like, oh, did we didn't get paid last night or like something went wrong. And then,
we've had our fair share of that.
You've even left like a whole guitar at a venue.
Yeah.
It's tragic when you realize.
Do you guys have a lot of guitars?
We played the
hi
hat in LA one time, and Adam left his pedal board on the street. I think.
Oh no!
I used to lost all his pedals.
I used to work inside the hi hat. I love that place.
Place is cool.
Yeah, at Burger.
What was the question? We have a lot of guitars.
Yeah. Do you guys have like one of those racks on stage with a lot of guitars, or what's the setup like on stage for you guys?
We typically only have one guitar, but we usually have like a backup in case a string breaks. But yeah, we keep it pretty simple. I got a Jag. Ted's got a nice P bass.
Cool.
We have a Strat too that usually have like have two guitars on stage.
Cool. And then what was that live video I saw you guys do? It was like a pre-recorded live video.
Was it the
Jam in the Van? Yeah, I'm doing a Jam in the Van on November 10th. Like, what was your experience working with them? Or like, I have no idea what to expect. I've never done one before.
It was all remote, so we did it all. And we decided to kind of like try to do a really as good of a quality high production thing we could, you know? Because at first we were going to do like an iPhone one, but we had done one of those about a month before. So we had our homie from Slow drive up, who's a photographer, and he brought like three or four cameras and set them up.
Oh.
And then we recorded it and then pretty much edited it all together. And it was fun, you know, it definitely opened up a lot of ideas for how we could make even cooler kind of pre-recorded performances, like with cameras and like all the stuff you could do.
You just put it on your own YouTube channel, you know?
Yeah,
there's a lot of bases to cover. We kind of realized how much of an undertaking it was.
When we were
getting into it,
like 2 days to do it, and we were like, we could have spent like a whole week preparing for this.
Totally. Oh, that's awesome! When I first saw it, I was like, oh, good, like someone's doing something. And
yeah,
I was like, we can't. Part of me is just like, it's fine to take off some time for your mental health, but also don't let this year beat the shit out of you where you don't want to do anything. So when I saw you guys do that, I was like, oh, thank God. Like the world is still turning. Like there's still music to be put out. There's still things to do. Yeah. Like we can still do stuff. Like
totally.
Yeah. It's the time to get creative and kind of move with the motions.
You gotta move with it, man.
I've definitely like really enjoyed some of the like live stuff or just creative stuff that artists have done. Like it's helped me kind of cope with everything going on. So I try to keep that in mind, like working on this stuff sometimes.
Did you guys
as a motivator?
Yeah. Did you guys live stream at all at the very beginning? Because that was like a thing for like a couple months.
We did a couple of them, yeah.
That was fun. That was like,
yeah, no one's doing it anymore.
Yeah, I think everyone kind of got burned out, you know? Like, yeah. Everyone was going in. It's like, well, this is so exciting and weird and new, you know?
Yeah.
And then it was like, how many live performances can I do, like, in my living room?
Yeah. I like that, you know, that band, the Ataris?
Sounds really familiar.
They're kind of, they did that Boys of Summer cover like in 2004. Okay. They're like a pop punk band, but that guy goes live on Facebook every day. I get the notification for it because I don't know, I must have clicked it by accident. And now like, every day, like around 4 o'clock, he's on. I'm like, oh, this is tight. So he's still doing it. Taking requests.
Cool. He's got stamina.
Dude, yeah. I did one in this room. And, like, it kind of felt like a show. Like, I kind of, after, I was like, ooh, shoot. Like, you know, walk to the kitchen, yeah. Get a beer. Like, oh, this show's pretty good. Like,
Yeah, we were really excited after our first one, you know. Shots, we're dancing, posting a story of the set list.
Yes, it's fun. But
thanks
then,
for coming, y'all.
Yeah. It's fun, but, yeah, it doesn't have, it didn't last long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well. We've been talking for an hour. We could wrap it up if you guys got other stuff you got to do today. But I just want to say thanks for being on the podcast. And I'm sorry if I didn't answer anybody's questions. I don't know if you're fans. I don't know. Is there anything you guys want to say? I feel like I've been talking
y'all.
A lot. Okay.
We miss all our fans. We'd like to play a show again in the future. Keep an eye out for our music video and for new music coming. We're really excited to share.
What's the best way for people to support Hot Flash Heat Wave?
I mean, just follow us, you know, Instagram, Spotify, and we'll keep you in the loop. If you want to buy something, you can buy something. If not, you know, then do your thing, you know. We're making music for your enjoyment.
Ah, yes.
Mental well-being.
I love it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm gonna stop recording, and that's it.